Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Everybody, what's going on, Miss T?
Hey, Leisha, how you doing this Friday evening, girl?
I'm good. I am good. How was your day?
My day was pretty good. It wasn't too bad. It was Friday, so, you know, that's always a good day, good way to start it out. But I'm just happy to be on our Spotlight Friday once again. I'm so excited to have these two authors on with us tonight.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's going to be a very interesting night. We have two different authors coming on tonight. We have author Bambi S. Moore, and he is an erotic author. And then we have author Reuben Scott, and he is, I'm going to say more like motivational. He writes books pertaining to, I want to say, youth and how to build them up and maybe some of the things that they may be going through. So I think this is going to be very interesting show that we're going to have on tonight.
Now, we've had a pretty interesting last 2 weeks here on Right on Lofty Radio. I was just thinking about that today. We've had some talent on these last couple of weeks, and we just keep adding on to the pile with our two tonight.
Yes, we have. We've had Freeway Ricky Ross on. We've had the beautiful and talented Bunny DeBarge. I mean, we've had Keith Robinson on. I mean, so yes, we have had a lot of, you know, celebrity type authors and artists on the show, as well as some great authors on the show. Our show last night, we turned it out.
Yes, we definitely did.
Wednesday night.
Yeah. It's never a dull moment here at Right and Wrong to Radio, and we enjoy every single second of it.
Absolutely. I wouldn't trade it for the world.
I was actually reading Bambi F. Moore's book. I haven't been able to get Reuben. It was telling me it wasn't on Amazon. It wasn't on Kindle.
It takes a village. Took a village. It's the name of the book.
No, not that one. I must have been looking at something else.
He has a lot of books. He has a book. I want to say that was not written in Spanish. He has a lot of different books, but he has a book called It Took a Village, and then there is another book that he has. I want to say it was in Spanish. I know he has it, a part two of his book out too. So he has It Took a Village, and he has part two out. And I want to say he has like an inspirational type quote book. I believe that is out as well. But we'll get to the bottom of that when he comes into the clubhouse.
Yeah, you know, I try to download upcoming featured artists, so I just kind of get a feel of their work. And unfortunately, I wasn't able or didn't have time to look into it a little further to pick something up of his, so I'm going to have to rely on him to fill me in. But I am reading Bambi Afford's book. I was able to pick that up. I've been reading that for most of the day, and right up until a few minutes ago, I'm like, oh, my God, what time is it?
Because that's how much I was into it. You have to make sure folks weren't looking over your shoulder like, what is she doing? Mm-hmm.
You know, with my commute, I got to be looking at people's side eyes on certain things that I happen to be reading.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're going to have Bambi in the clubhouse. I call him Bam. He's going to be in the clubhouse. He can break down his book for us, and we're going to have Ruben in. I actually went to school with Ruben.
Oh, really?
That's going to be, we went to high school. So this is going to be, you know, a very good show. It's going to be fun. Now, I did get his book, It Took a Village, and the book really, it talks about, like, the harsh realities of growing up in impoverished communities. But it talks about the beauty of it, you know, because even though you're in an impoverished community, it doesn't mean that there aren't good things that happen out of that community. So it talks about that. It also talks about the struggle, though. And it talks about just how his growing up and living in Oakland and going through, you know, some of the things that he went through in life and losing friends and, you know, as a youth, really just kind of ending what a lot of them are going through. And that some adults may not realize it, you know, because really, you know, when you're a mom or a dad and you're really working, you're doing what you have to do just to make sure they can have a roof. And sometimes you say, I know it's not the perfect neighborhood, but, you know, it's decent enough for us to live. But, you know, even with that, you know, kids still go through certain things and they have certain experiences, some that their parents may know. That their parents may not know. So it's a very interesting read as far as getting to understand how he was raised and the things that he went through as a youth. But it can also be, I think, reflects most youth, you know, in that no matter what era they're in, you know, anybody can kind of relate to the things that he went through.
And also, on top of that, Leisha, just listening to the way you just explained that to me, sometimes you have to be mentally strong or mentally into, you know, knowing that you can rise above and beyond. You know, even as a child, sometimes, you don't just let that limit you. You know, you're not a prisoner in your environment.
Absolutely.
You know? Sometimes you say, no, I know I could do better, and I know this isn't just what I'm all about.
I definitely agree with that. And then saying at the same time, even though you're going through those things, you have to kind of be – a lot of times kids don't listen to their parents. That's why, you know, they always say, what is that, 13 to 8, 17, or 12 to 17 is always the dangerous stage for kids, because a lot of times they don't listen to their parents. They're, you know, involving and experiencing different things, and it becomes kind of confusing, their little world that they're in. And, you know, it's really important that we just kind of are mindful of some of the things that we're doing, because a lot of times, and I always say this, you know, a child is kind of like a computer. Their brain is like it's the database. So whatever you program in there, and the program comes from their ears, it comes from their eyes. So it's whatever they see, whatever they hear. So it doesn't have to necessarily be the parent. It could be something in the area or that they're picking up, but they're recording all of that. And all of that is being stored, you know, in their mind. And so it's helping to shape them as they grow. So I think it's going to be really interesting when he comes on, talking to him on today.
And in addition to that, it's also their daily walk, be it school, neighbors, family, friends, like you said. All that plays a role in shaping a child's mind. Heck, it can shape an adult's mind if you really want to be real about it.
Absolutely. I have another friend from home. His name is Elton Loud, and he wrote a book called Little Girls. It's a short novella, but I want to say he's doing a project. I want to say he might be turning it into a movie or a movie around it. So, but that was a little girl, a good book as well. And it's a different kind of read. You know, it's more so because he's from Oakland as well, but he graduated from Howard University, and he got his law degree, and you know, him and his wife, you know, they moved back to California, but just he talked about in that particular book, he did talk about Oakland and the prostitution issue, and how, you know, the issues and the troubles around it in that particular area. And his book, Little Girl, it really examines the complexity of humans, as their conditions, the generations and different families, you know. It kind of reveals people and history, and it really helps children form their identities, you know, when you look at it as far as human conditioning. And it's a real different read. So if you don't read, if you only read like contemporary or street lit, this is like totally different. It's a whole different type of genre and read, but it is a good read. It takes you into just a different element of what children go through, kind of like in Ruben's book. He takes you just through a different element of what he's gone through or friends have gone through or what they have experienced. So, yeah, I'm super excited for tonight. Now, Bambi, on the other hand, I hear his pen. You got to tell me a little. I read one of his stories, another story of his. So I have not read this one.
I'm actually reading.
You got to give me a little bit about this.
Yeah. I'm reading B is the Vixen. Now, I wasn't sure if this was his first book or his second, but you know how we always, you know, as a host on this show, you know, I've been opened up to so many more genres than I usually read, you know, and his is like a little bit erotica and a little, I can't really tell, but it's not my usual street lit, I know that for sure, but it does have some erotica in it. And it's actually really interesting. You know, I love the plot. And you know how we always talk about editing? It's been edit-free of any errors, you know, all of that stuff that we always talk about on our show. It reads really well. It flows seamlessly, you know, and I'm really, really enjoying it. And if he hadn't been on the show, who's to say that I would have ever picked up this book? So I'm just happy to be exposed to so much talent here on Writer Raw through Radio.
Absolutely. I always say, you know, we always talk about, you know, when we have our show, we always talk about books and having bookitis. And I think being with Amy and Aaron, though, I noticed that I read differently. Like, I have to read something twice. So I have to read it, like, as a reader, but then you kind of analyze it. It's like, okay, well, but I think that just comes from the environment of just being around authors and a little bit of what they do rubbing off on us as readers. But I totally agree with you. Without, you know, being on the show, I mean, we've been on the show since January, and yes, we've come across all types of authors, crime fiction and contemporary, and you know, really, I was a street lit type of reader where, you know, that's what I read because it was the drama, it was exciting, you know, and I only read certain authors. I didn't read everybody, but I read a little contemporary, I read erotica now, crime, and I actually like those, like, true crime books, and the, I want to say those are like true crimes too, because you have Seth Ronti. His book is more so they're like true crime, but they're more like talking about the person's life. So I'm going to say like a biography type book. But I think it's kind of like watching Gangland on TV. And the one thing about those books is I have to be able to feel like I'm watching Gangland on TV or something like that, you know, where you get that effect, like whether I'm on, watching it on TV or reading it in a book, that, is it keeping me? So that's exciting thing.
My son actually loves Gangland, and I like stories like that. But I started this, and I'm up to, like, the part of the lead character is Victoria in V's Vixen. And I'm up to the part where she's just gotten her promotion. You know, I don't want to give too much away to our listening audience, but it's like I don't know what's going to come with the next page that I turn. That's how much it's kind of like a little suspense also. You think it's going to go in one direction, and it goes in a totally other different direction. So I'm really enjoying it. You got to get it in your library, Lisa. So I'm interested to hear. I want to hear how Bam came up with this concept.
Look, yes, I'm going to have everybody calling him Bam now. But when you read, we have his bio, so I'm going to read that. But Bambi F. Moore, he is an author, and he was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. That's your hometown.
Yes.
Well, no, your hometown. He enjoys writing joints that are different from the norm. So he never wants to be labeled as just another urban author. He makes it a point to create the uncreated. So Bambi F. Moore, he stepped onto the urban erotica scene, and he released his freshman narrative, To the Max, and that was the one that I read. He sent to me to read. And it is. It's a little dirty. Yeah, his pen is a little bit. He got a little something going on with that pen. But it is that it opened a world of memorable, realistic characters and a unique writing style, which he really does have, and he does have unique characters. Now, the readers everywhere can call their own and fall in love with them because, you know, I think that's essential in any book. You have to be able to have a character somebody hates. And you have to have a character that they love, you know. And even when you have a character that they hate, it still keeps the book relevant because it's like, oh, no, I don't like this person or how they did this or how they did that. So I think that's very important as well. But, his love scenes are they're sizzling. He got some things going on. And it's, you know, sometimes when you get erotic authors, sometimes they try to use those big, huge words. You know, the big, huge ones where you spend more time thinking about the word. Right, you spend more time thinking about the word and figuring out the word than you do visualizing what it is that they've already penned. And I think sometimes, especially with the erotic authors, I found that a lot. You know, sometimes I think that readers are visual. We have to see it. You just can't tell us. You have to show us so that when we play it back in our head, we like, oh, man, how did they do that? You know, you have to have that visual there. And so I like that, you know, he puts that and he keeps that in mind, that, you know, I want them to play it back. I want them to have the ability to play it back. I don't want to just put the big words out there. Now, his debut novel, which is Vixen, the one that you're reading, is just as hot. It came out July 26th, so it just dropped a couple of weeks ago. And it's an urban interracial erotica book. So that,
I kind of felt that. You know, I wasn't quite sure until he started describing the skin texture, the skin color. So that, you know, that all plays in that development of a character.
Absolutely. Well, let's get this show started. Let's take some bills and bring in our guest.
All right now. You know, we're going to have to get something special just for our show where we introduce what Writing Raw the Spotlight Author is all about. But Writing Raw Radio, I know, right, is dedicated to joining authors and readers together in the creates a community of reading and writing greatness. Now, Alicia and I have some co-hosts that are not normally on Friday nights on our spotlight, but we do have them in the house, and I'd like to let you know about some of their great reads. We have the one and only great Nini Capri. She has some hot releases. You know, some of them are the PFAS series, 1, 2, and 3. And if you follow us or follow Nini, you know that she has 4 in her head, and those characters are moving around trying to get to us readers, so that should be releasing soon. And in addition to the P-Trap series, she also has the Trust No B series that she co-wrote with the one and only Cash Streetlet author. That's just an all-time classic. And they actually have a prequel coming out shortly, if I'm not mistaken. You know, the story of Eyes. Am I not correct, Leisha? That should be coming out soon. Now, she also has Under the Powerhouse of East Street Chronicles, Tainted, Lies, Fear, and Death, and she's actually penning part 2 to that also. So be on the lookout for that. Now, our one and only male co-host on the show, Mr. Aaron Bebo, he is no slouch with his pen. He has some phenomenal works that includes, but is not limited to, The Rat Hunter, Change for, I think that's 99 cents. I'm not sure if today's the last day, but head over to Amazon and check it out. And the classic, Till My Casket Drops. And also under the powerhouse of G Street Chronicles, he has I Used to Love Her. Now, I fell in love with that because that is an all-time hip-hop story, and he just brought my love of music with that. He's actually penning part 2 to that, so we got a lot of books on the horizon here at Writing Raw to Radio, and we hope that you guys are one-clicking or heading over to Amazon to enjoy those great reads as well. So, Alicia, I'm going to kick it over to you and let you do what you do, girl. Go ahead.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, we want to remind you guys that we have the Writing Royalty Radio website, which is writingroyaltyradio.com, and we always have updates on shows, events that authors will have. We do have a blog section on that, and then we have, I have the Writing Royalty Promotions website, which is for my company, and I always, you know, try to keep readers in tune to what's going on. I have a blog section. I have a books and recommendations section. I want to shout out my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful readers. I have some hardcore reviewers, some young ladies. I have 4 of them. So they are always reading, and they read and review, or I blog it. So I want to shout them out. But always check those websites. We also have our blogs because we always, whatever we discuss on the show, we always carry it over, and we're blogging it or putting it on the websites just so people can just stay in the know of what's going on and what's happening. I want to remind everybody, shout out to Papaya as well. Sisters on Lit is having a book fair in the D.C. area, and that's going to be May 2nd, 2015. So if you are in the D.C. area, whether you're a reader or author, make sure that you're checking that out. It's going to be at Thurgood Marshall Center. Also, if you need more information, if you want a vendor table or have your own product there, you want to contact www.sistersonlit.com, and someone will be able to assist you and give you more information with that. We also want to remind you guys to head over to Amazon, and we want you to grab a copy of Freeway Rick Ross's new book, Rick Ross, The Untold Story. He wrote that with true crime author Kathy Scott, and I started that book. I think Tony is almost done with that book, and he takes you through so many ups and downs and turns and wraps around. And you feel like you're walking right along with him. That's how
I actually
kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. But don't tell me about it because I'm almost done.
It's
but
awesome.
He takes, you would think you were walking right along with him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the way that he wrote that. And keep your cyber eyes peeled because coming this fall, the beautiful and talented Miss Bunny DeBarge is bringing, she's revamped her Kept One book, And so she has the revamped version coming out this fall. And she has part 2 and 3 coming of those books, which are basically surrounding her life, and it's an uncut version. So I'm excited for that. And also for 24 Hours, Snowbee series 1, 2, and 3 will be on sale. Part 1 is 99 cents. Part 2 and 3 are $2.99, and it is only for the next 24 hours. So this time tomorrow, they will not be on sale. Y'all know Cash did 48 hours yesterday, so I'll try to let everybody know now we got 24 hours. So if you have not read this series, you want to make sure you get it because they're coming out with the prequel. Also, if you've read it and you may have a relative or something that enjoys to read and they haven't been able to read this series, you can gift the series to them, and just so that they can enjoy this hot series, because that's like, it's two hot authors, two hot pens, but it's one hot series. They don't skip a beat. Okay, so let's keep going. We got Mr. Ruben Scott in the clubhouse. Let's bring him in.
Okay.
Hey, Ruben, how are you?
Hey, Ruben. Can you hear us?
Let's see.
Be in the green room.
You know what, Aaron, let's, I don't want to call him Heifer, but Aaron left him, him those people. He left his people here. And so I think he done got folks wrapped up in that green room down there with all that stuff he done left behind. He knew we was having some male authors. He said he wants to leave them something to enjoy.
I'll try him again.
Let's see. Well, let's give him a few more minutes.
Okay.
Let's give him a few more minutes.
All right. But in addition, regarding the V book I'm reading, I had a thought when you was reading his bio that it's a little, he always throws in a little extra. And I'm also a part where I didn't see coming. I see some Dom submissive action going on. So we have to question him about, I could be reading it wrong between Mr. Kane and Miss Victoria.
You don't have me one click in that book.
So I'm not sure what time Mr. Bam is coming on, but we definitely have to ask him about that.
Yes, he'll be on at 7:45. I made my note. You know, I'm always making notes about something. I wrote that down. We're going to ask him about that. But I think I saw Mr. Ruben Scott pulling up. He's taking off his coat. We're going to bring him on in the clubhouse.
Okay.
Welcome to Writing World. See, how are you, Ruben?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing today?
Hi, Ruben.
Good.
How are
you? Cool. Hello. I'm doing good. How are you ladies doing today?
We are great and excited to have you in our clubhouse this evening, so thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm excited as well. kind of nervous, but I'm excited as well. You guys are doing some amazing things, and I'm glad that I was able to be a part of that this afternoon.
Don't be nervous.
Come on in and kick off your shoes. You in a clubhouse. Sit back, put your feet up, relax.
People come in the clubhouse
to get comfortable. That's how we want it. We like our guests to come in the clubhouse, be comfortable. So you don't need all of that. Take that time.
Not at all, bro. Okay. I'm in my wife's theater right now, overlooking the Bay Area. I'm fine.
Just kick it up. It's just Lisa and I, and we just having fun in the clubhouse talking about what we love, which is books and literature. So you should be right at home.
Oh, I'm right at home. All right. That's my passion. I can go all day with that.
Absolutely. So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your literary journey.
Okay. So what it is I want to say ever since I was a kid, I was always fascinated with poetry, music. So I took the whole music route and music journey for a long time, and then I realized that there was really no out And so I kind of took my hobby, passion, and love and decided to focus in writing. My mom passed away, and when she passed away, I decided that there wasn't too many outs for me to go. And so one was to put all my emotions and everything I was going through and everything I went through as a kid into my writings and to be able to put it out there. I never knew I would be able to be reciprocated as I did, but as I realized that there were so many people who had the emotion and the feelings of adversity and the things that I was going through, we were all the same, but no one talked about it. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like one of those hidden things that we were so much in common, but nobody ever knew until you started talking about, like, the emotional, traumatic stuff where you had a drunk uncle or abused mom or abused sister, and everybody could relate. So that focused me on go ahead and creating, like, books about, I guess, growing up in Oakland and everything I've been through. My story was, well, I was in and out of foster homes. My mom was Puerto Rican. My mom was an amazing woman, but, you know, she was a single mom, and she raised us the best of her ability, and what she knew how to do was hustle. So, you know, with that came a journey that luckily not a lot of people were able to pull themselves out of. Me, I was able to pull myself out of and still shine and be successful. And, you know, so I decided to take my education and decided to take everything that I learned through my life experience and just kind of put it into emotional trauma books. And so I started creating workshops. So I do It Took a Village workshops where we go in and we talk about social etiquette and social etiquette when it comes to dating. And I also give out social recognition awards to kids, and I do social supporter awards to kids. You name it. We right now we're putting together a lot of nonprofits and some kind of sports clinics, so that way we can kind of give a lot of our kids a way of a different outlet besides us sitting down playing games. You know, back in the days, mm-hmm. we used to have the coaches that would go ahead and really teach the fundamentals and the techniques. And with that, a lot of the young men were able to get drilled, and we were able to have more of a control of them. Right now, a lot of young men, you can't spank them. You can't do too much, so they're kind of running crazy. They need discipline. So a lot of times when you put the sports in together with the, we can really reach them, we can get to them. So, you know, another thing I do is I also sponsor youth, young men that are like freshmen or sophomores going into high school. So I'll go ahead and pick a few out in the community, and if they need basketball shoes, I'll go ahead and pay for them. And they need clothes going in to be a freshman, I'll go ahead and buy them. The reason why is sometimes it's hard for singles moms to go ahead and say, I'm going to go ahead and spend this extra cash on my kid. But when you actually do it and a kid has brand new clothes and you're going into a new school environment, you're not worried about your appearance. You're more worried about your education. With that, I have had success with a lot of boys going to college and junior college, and I mean, that are just aspiring so great that you'll be shocked. And it really came down to his appearance, what he wore. He wasn't judged. Mm-hmm. So we allowed him to go ahead and be someone. Right now I'm working with 100 Black Men of Sonoma County, and in my area I deal with my church, Community Baptist. And so we have a lot of community involvement with support, mentoring, and 100 Black Men, they have scholarships for kids. So, you know, with that comes my writings. You know, the more I write about, I guess, the emotional displacement we have as young men, young Black men, it kind of helps the transition, I guess, for all the young Black men to understand there is a transition out there, which we get stuck in, you know. So, you know, that's I don't want to go too deep, but, you know, that's kind of like my start, my passion, you know, regards to what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you can get a passion in you.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. And he's very passionate, but it is very true, and I'm glad that you're doing that, because really, if you think about it, growing up in the 70s and the 80s, I mean, even the 90s, things have they're just kind of different than, you know, we were growing up. You know, we would go out, it would be Halloween, we would go to dance, then we would go trick-or-treating, we'd be trick-or-treating till 1 in the morning.
Yes.
We can't do that now. You know, riding on
summertime.
The back of the ice cream truck.
We had that innocent fun. Nowadays, these 15, 16-year-old kids is running around with guns. You can't walk down the street without, you know, so it gets to be, they cut out all their programs. A lot of time they cut out the inner-city programs for the inner-city Black kids. So then what do? But you got to remember, this is where they got their scholarships from. This is where we were able to aspire to greatness, to go to college and get out. But they took the scholarship, so then what did they leave us? You know, it gets down to be we're trying to do a book about what is it called? It's like How I Got Game. You know, I like when we was growing up, a lot of the old cats was giving us information. You got to be like this. You got to be like this. You got to be like this. Well, what happened was when we grew up, we realized that all that, man, worked when we was kids, but it worked against us as men. So then we had to really, like, learn, okay, all the information we got. But everything evolves. Think about it. Domestic violence was legal when we was kids. You know, like, no seatbelts when we was kids. We had typewriters. These are things that, like, if you don't evolve and you don't transition and condition yourself to learn new, then you're lost. And we didn't have that. So, you know, we're trying to help, like, implement, like, all these little structured things to help show because, you know, and then another thing is our culture, the hip-hop culture. We forget that that was set up and played to make us go down a dead end. So that way, we don't aspire to be nothing except for rappers. Okay, we talk Ebonics, we dress a certain type of way. That means we can't get these jobs. But that also means when you get 40 and 50, what do you transition into because there's nothing out there? What happens is the other cultures are now adapting that hip-hop culture and now getting lost in that transition. So kind of like how the dope was back in the day, how they were like, we gotta step in and do something because the dope now, the white people and the other cultures are now getting, so we got to do something. Same thing with the hip-hop culture. Now we got to allow a way out because we're losing generations of kids that are adapted to a culture that wasn't supposed to have a purpose, wasn't supposed to just, you know, kill yourselves. So, you know, it's kind of like nowadays our young generation is really just being led by entertainment. And entertainment is an educator, which is sad, you know. But, you know, unless we do something, help them, you know, we're gonna lose that, you know. And fortunately, you know, it's kind of sad, you know. It's kind of sad, but, you know, I think that it's worth the fight, and it's an amazing journey. So, you know, I try to, when they see me, they see a guy who's been in the inner city, who's been there, been through it, and I still look good, and then I'm still passionate about what I do. I love to help. I give the shirt off my back, and then they realize that there's more men like me, and then they start seeing there's a way out. Like, hey, we don't have to be like this. We don't have to do this. You know, and that's what I love when I'm walking around, and the young men that I help bring their grandmas over and be like, hey, grandma, I know him. He knows me.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, that's so, to me, it's so like, they look at me as far as, like, he knows me. He can validate who I am as a person. You know, and it's almost like you don't have no one else in the world to look at you like that. Oh, wow. You know, so in my community, that's what I'm saying, we want to help create that. Like, when it comes down to sports, when it comes down to, I hate saying that, but it always comes, you got to attract the kids somehow. So we got to attract them through the music, where we open a studio for them, where they can record sports. We'll go ahead and sponsor them in sports, but we can also mentor them and, you know, kind of, you know, we had to figure out, I'm 37, so we had to figure out how do we go ahead and keep my grandmother's tradition alive. But what she would have wanted, her ethics, her morals, everything she pushed on, well, how do we keep that strong and then feed that into our kids so then we don't miss a step? Because some of our kids are so spoiled and so, you know, it comes down to you only can put so much on them before they just say, I quit, I give up. They're not hard like us, you know, so... Anyways, I know I feel like I'm talking your ear off, but
no, that's what we're here for. We're here for you to talk.
I got you. Yeah.
No, so as you
can tell, that is my passion.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, like I said, your passion comes through. Yes, our co-host, he says the same thing all the time, and I, you know, me and Tony were actually talking about this not so long ago. We were talking about the youth, and you know, I think a lot of times there is a lack of identity, you know, things came a little bit harder for us, it's easier for them because we are, I think each generation when you have your children, you develop and you try to put options there that you didn't have. So
correct,
as parents,
correct.
You try to make sure that, you know, you have all the options, you know, that I didn't have. Because, see, in life, you got to have options. You got to say, do I want to do this and do I want to do that? But, see, they stay focused sometimes. And so a lot of times, sometimes there's too many options, but the way the world is set up, they have to have options. You have to have options on what direction you want to go into because 9 times out of 10, you're going to change that direction
when you go to college, you're going to change your major multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to change.
Life, career.
You know,
yeah,
gonna,
correct.
Yeah, you're going to move. You're going to evolve. So I think with our children, the problem is, you know, especially they have the hip-hop industry that has changed from when we were growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So they really have no identity.
They
and,
don't.
You know.
Correct.
And they need to be affirmed a lot. You know, a lot of times you might
correct.
Get people that or their parents or relatives or people around them that are quick to point out what they're not doing. You know.
Correct.
You need to do this,
correct.
You're not doing this, you're not doing that. But you're a lot of times we forget to affirm our children, that they need
correct.
Affirmation. They need to be affirmed because it helps to build them up.
Correct.
So it's good what you do, and that you reach back and you go into the community and you try to do what you can to play your part. And I think that's
correct.
Important. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. Well, I think it comes down to, like, being that positive model that you feel you are and you think you are and showing it.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start showing it, especially a lot of times, and you're right, we can make excuses about our past generation and what we've been through, but we really had to deal with it all. So now we kind of made it to where the new generation don't really have to go through as many trials and tribulations. They ain't got to get beat. They ain't got to get, you know, but they got all the options. Like you're right. So they kind of get coddled a little bit, you know, which is not a problem because that's how we want it. We wish we had it like that. But we're losing something, like you said, the identity in the process, you know. But that's not everywhere. That's not everywhere. But we are losing some of it. I think. And then I was going to say it comes down to, like, that parent who models. A lot of times we got this parent at home who wakes up in the morning and they're screaming from the top, and they get up to when they go to sleep at night. They got the attitudes. They grumpy. Everything's difficult. Then they wonder why their kid all of a sudden comes out to be this grumpy, arrogant. We got a lot of different personalities and traits, and our kids is going to pick up on whatever one they see works for you and keeps you safe. Your kid going to pick up on, I can't stand this child. That child picked up your personality. Now you want to act something different with somebody in the house. With somebody around, you want to act different. But that child's still reflecting how you was acting this morning, you know. And so it comes down to, like, if we don't show our kids what we like, what's important. We don't have an open conversation about what it is you like, what it is that's important for you. Even though I'm the parent, it's no more kids to be seen and not heard. The reason why is because the parent ain't got the same etiquette, ethics, and morals and values as back in the day as grandma and them. So now sometimes, I'm not going to lie, when a kid is innocent and the kid say, mama, why are you doing this? The kid more right than their parents. Like, more right to the parent. Like, mama, why are you going out Christmas Eve? Don't you know we're supposed to be home as a family? You know what I mean? Like, daddy, you ain't going to the store. You know you're going to that girl house. I've seen you texting. You know what? And don't get it wrong, because the kids are seeing it at all. And then they wonder why when they get 15, 16, 17, they got a hard relationship with the mama and daddy. They don't want to listen. They don't want to talk. Because now they're a parent. Now they got to raise their siblings. But, you know, but then that's a whole other conversation, because that's like babies having babies. When you're a baby and you have a baby at 19, 20, you don't know about life. But you now you're having a baby and you're trying to raise a baby, but you still don't know about life. So you're doing your mess to raise that baby and go through your experience and your journey, not really knowing about life and your bumps. So, I mean, that you know, and that's hard. So by the time a child gets 17, 18, raised by a young parent, you wonder why the child is acting a certain way. You had a baby raising a baby, you know, and we never agreed with that. We never wanted to say, yeah, that's true. We use babies raising babies, but, man, we can't. That's the truth. But we did a great job, I think, our generation. We got dads that's now involved, like coaching, mentoring, dads that's like moms, taking the mom's place, dads are staying home, you know. So I think in our generation, something happened where you have more women in the workplace than ever. You know, women are running the show. You got to give it to you guys. You guys are running the show. But, you know, everything evolves. Everything evolves in time.
It does.
Absolutely.
And you raised a good point about, like Alicia was saying, we want to give our children so many options. But when we were growing up, we worked for those options.
Yes, we did.
So,
thank you.
So we worked for them. And so
it was a little bit
more precious to us. You know, when we earned it, we held on to it. Now our kids today, you know, like you said, they're coddled, and they don't appreciate the hard work. And they don't have that ethic to put in the hard work.
So true.
you know. So it is so unfortunate.
It is. My older brother was, he had me dying because he says, like, anytime his sons want to borrow money, he'll say, okay, come talk to me. Come talk to me. We'll talk about it. They'll come and he'll say, okay, you want to borrow some money? How much you want to borrow? 100 to 2? Oh, okay. You got to have a 30-minute talk with me in regards to finances. he said the first time that 30-minute talk came, went, gave him the money, kid was gone. Called him up again the next time. He said, you know what? Come over. We'll see what we can do. We'll have a 30-minute conversation on finances. So I'm on the phone, call him back 5 minutes later, say, you know what, Dad? I'll figure it out. I started cracking up laughing. Like, okay, you know. So sometimes, you know, we got to allow, just a boundary. We got to put something up to allow them to crawl over it, you know. Like, you know, put something up. Don't make it so easy sometimes for all the kids. And I thought that was heck of funny. Like, that's all it took? He said, yeah, it was simple. It's a 30-minute conversation of finances. Okay.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm going to try that one. I don't know if it'll work for me. And I'll probably be like, sure, I'll talk to you, Ruben, for half an hour. Not a problem. Like, I don't mind.
But, you know, and that's what you kind of got to do because this generation is so different. Everything is different for them. They have technology. They have that. You have to be able to evolve in how you reach them. You can't focus on this is what worked here and this is what worked here because that's not going to work for everybody. This is a new breed. Is this a new generation?
Yeah.
So you have to do really, you have to change how you reach them. You may not be
Correct.
Able to reach them the same way. You may not be able because there's a little disconnect there. So because there
Correct.
Is a disconnect, you have to find other ways of reaching them. And I think a lot of times, grown-ups or older generations get frustrated because of the disconnect and they don't know any other way, you know,
They're
but
scared.
You got to adapt other ways to be able to reach them at the same time because it's really important. You know, everything
Correct.
is different. You know, like you said, conversation with science for 30 minutes, it might work for some, it might not work, you know. It just depends on the particular child and how
Correct.
You're trying to reach them and the way in
Correct.
Which you're reaching them. So you want to make sure that they're receiving what it is that you're saying. That is
Correct.
so true. But I want you to tell us what projects you have coming up, books you have
okay.
coming out, current books you have
okay.
out.
I have a book, It Took a Village, that I put out last year. It's regards to me being raised in Oakland. My adolescent years, looking at the world, going through everything from seeing death, from seeing just my community just being destroyed and then making it out, you know, and then the silver lining behind it. Then I put out my It Took a Village emotional quote book about a month ago. It's in Spanish and English. It has emotional quotes, you know, dealing with just normal life and adversity and, you know, just things that kind of make you heal and help you heal with the emotional dialogue page in it. And then I'm putting out a book called Love on My Sleeve. That's dealing with male emotions and dating and adverse relationships when you go through. A lot of times us males, when we're in a relationship, we tend to be crazy. We don't know why and we act a certain way. Well, in my book, I kind of started trying to help people understand some of these emotional issues that we have. And so, you know, it kind of helps out. There's a book, 1 and 2. The second one that I'm going to put out next year that I'm working on is like the positive side of when you fall in love and what love does for you and how it helps you grow and how it helps you feel when you're in love and the importance of being in a healthy relationship. So there's that 1 and 2. And then I'm also doing like a inspirational quotes, kind of like to tell her off the back of them. I love music, so I always have to have my music that's going to, of course, go along with, like, my books. So I'm always trying to get as much, I guess, kind of like a artistry as you can, you know, kind of when I put
Absolutely.
Out my stuff. So that way you can kind of see just who I am and what I like, and so that way I think when young kids start seeing and adapting to it, they'll start understanding that you can do everything. You know, I always hear,
Absolutely.
I can't do one thing. Like, but, okay, back up. I'm also doing another book in regards to, you know, like the game that young men get from older men and like the cause and effect of it. I'm working on that at this point, at this time too. I'm also working on a book with regards to mothers raising sons. So, and how successful they can be, honestly, when you have a single mother raising a son. But I'm not saying it's recommended. I'm not saying everybody go out there, leave your man, and not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. So I have a lot of things, like, in my pipeline over this next, I want to say, 8 months that I'll be putting out. So I'm kind of, like, excited about that. I kind of got together with a team of authors. I'm excited. My workshops, my Ithaca Village workshops for the school year, are going to start hopefully next month. Once a month, I'll go ahead and host a workshop for the kids in my community, in my area, dealing with, like, social etiquette, dating etiquette, expectations, community expectations, life expectations, you know, helping them in regards to just, picking out career paths and getting them mentors. I will be working with the 100 Black Men of Sonoma County this year, so I will be helping out, give awards and scholarships, things of that nature, and for the kids in my community. So this year I'm kind of real busy. I'm also trying to help out, start up conventions for fathers, and, you know, mothers too. They want to come, but mainly for fathers, to try to help get them more involved in the community and the social aspect and understanding kids and, you know, how to work with kids. I'm going to start doing more conventions. So there's a lot of things that I'm trying to work on in this next year, you know. Yeah.
That sounds awesome. We were back and forth, Tony, earlier today.
Hello.
When we were talking about mothers raising sons. That was me. You were back and forth. And it was interesting when you came on to that post and said what you said. I'm like, wow. You know, so it's.
Oh, he wasn't mad at me. I didn't mean it.
No. Oh,
no.
I didn't mean that.
Me either. I was like, hey, okay.
No, it was interesting to hear your point of view, and you know, Lisha and I, we're always open to everyone's view here on Right and Wrong.
Yeah.
It just threw me. I'm like, wow, I didn't expect to see that, but it's refreshing also.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing I'll always laugh about is, like, I love to debate. Like, when I was, I want to say, 17, 18, I did, like, teen court, and Sonoma County, Diane Foster really helped me out a lot in the community. And I learned, I was like an attorney and lawyer, so I learned how to kind of debate. Then in criminal justice classes, psychology. So with me, I'm always looking at the whole size of the spectrum, you know. And then when I got into writing the books, I realized that there were so many ways I wanted to go. And my business partner that I was working with at the time, Alma Bonavista, who was a school teacher in Oakland, she was like, therapeutic, Ruben, always thinking of therapeutic, always thinking. And I was like, but. And so my mind, I started thinking of, okay, we have a thing where we have majority of women raising men. It's like 12 to 1 right now when it comes to, so it's not even their fault. But when I sat down, my mom passed away, and I got close to my father, and me and my father, there was something that I missed with my mom being gone. Like, I was losing myself, adapting to a personality as my father, the man, and I realized that for 19 years my mom raised me. So I was a certain way. I was successful. Career, great husband, I was successful. I was great. But I lost myself when she passed, and I started adapting everybody else that was around me and my family. And I realized, wait, I had to step back. And I had to be the man that my mom told me that she instilled in me, that the ethics, the morals, the values, the church, the being to stand up, to stand in the corner, the discipline. I was only scared of my mom. I wasn't scared of nobody. Mom was 5 feet tall, and I was the only person I was scared of. But what I'm saying is everything she instilled with me, and everyone like me growing up, has strong mother presence. So it was, if my father was in my life for the 19 years, I probably would have been locked up in jail. The reason why, he was so hard. He was, am I taking nothing away from him? Not knocking the fathers. Sometimes as men, we got to understand what it is that we're showing our kids. Growing up in that era, it was mainly pimps and gangsters. So growing up from the city, from San Francisco or Oakland, or they adapted what they knew. My mom adapted what she wanted me to know, you know, how she wanted me to be, what she felt was the right way. And not taking nothing away, and I'm not saying alienate your father, because I think that's wrong. I don't condone none of it. It hurt me. There was a lot of cause and effect. But growing up from my mother, I felt, honestly, in my heart, in my mind and mind, I wouldn't be the same man as being raised by my father. Like, I wouldn't, hands down. You know, so, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but my brothers and me, we're different, you know, so it's kind of like I wouldn't be the same. So that's why I got to tip my hat off to the women who are raising young boys, because they can do it. And I'd rather be like the ones, and this was different because I think somebody else was probably writing it on the other half, but this was kind of like to the women who are raising young men, just to kind of let them know that, you know, pat on the back, kudos to you. It's like, you know, nothing, I'm not saying nothing about the other side. I don't want mm-hmm. people to, I may go ahead and write a book about the other, you guys already wrote one, so I ain't got to do that, you know, so.
That is so true. I want you to, before you go, just let our listeners know where they can contact you on social media or on email.
Definitely. My name is Ruben Scott, definitely, again. You can contact me Facebook, Ruben Scott, Facebook, or you contact me email, RubinJScott at gmail.com. Right now, that's pretty, you can do Amazon. You can go to Amazon, Google Ruben J. Scott Books, and you can grab any of my books on Amazon and see anything further about me if you like, my emotional quotes online. You can always Google me. I'm easily accessible. My phone number is online, so if you need to contact me, you definitely can. No crank calls. But, you know, I'm definitely accessible. You know, don't call me after 10 o'clock. You know what I'm saying? I got a deadline here. But I do appreciate you guys having me on the show, and it really was comfortable, and it really was a pleasure, and I do appreciate it.
It wasn't so bad, right?
Thank you so much.
No
worries. We told you.
It wasn't. You know, I don't know why I'm sweating so hard, but I appreciate it. Like, good Lord. No, you guys are doing an amazing thing, a wonderful thing. Hey, we ain't going to talk about that on the air, you know. No, I'm joking. It was a joke.
I'm so glad you were able to come on.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you. I know my schedule was kind of conflicting. I know I got a meeting next week, so I do appreciate you guys moving things around to have me on today. I do appreciate you guys.
It's not a problem at all.
Okay.
Always,
and you guys have a blessed day.
Okay, well, it's always so welcome if you, when you bring your new books out, if you want to come back, just hit me up. You got new projects or events or anything, just let me know, and I can, you know, post them up for you. You know, I'm not in Cali, but I'm a...
You do a wonderful job, as if you are. I'll tell you that. I keep thinking you're right here. Like, man, you do a wonderful job. So, you know, I want to tell you that. I don't see anybody out there. I mean, you're everywhere. So when I look at something, I'm like, wow, she's actually here. I got to get to you. I'm seeing you, girl. I'm seeing you. Like, you hiding nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. I see you.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah,
well,
so
the picnic should be coming up if I ain't missed it.
It's tomorrow.
Well, you tell everybody I said, hey, I send my love, my regards, hugs, kisses.
You know we're going to have fun. I will, baby. All right. And you guys
we'll
have a great one.
Soon.
All right,
thanks for joining us. Okay, bye-bye. That was awesome, Alicia.
Yes, he's so passionate. He's always been like that, though. But that was a good show. He's passionate about you.
Yes, he is. It just came through the airwaves.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a brief commercial break, and then we are going to bring in our next guest with this author, Bambi F. Moore, but I call him Bam. He's going to grace us in the clubhouse with his presence,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be back in a few minutes.
It's the one and only the boss, Lady Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
I love that commercial.
Me too. Well, let's bring in the Bam and let him. You know, we got our questions that we got written down. He got some things, some explaining to do.
Yes, he does.
Hey, Bam, what's going on?
I'm doing okay. I'm finally here. How's everything with y'all?
Hey, do I have the go ahead to call you Bam also? This is Tony.
That's okay.
Thanks for joining us, Bam.
But I want to make something clear. I was listening to the show from the start. I'm not a freak and no pervert, nothing like that. Not the way y'all presented me.
Oh, no. That wasn't our intention, was it? Mm-hmm.
But since
I didn't
you
know
what
y'all
up.
Was talking about for a minute.
No. It's all good. It's all good, Bam.
Okay. So what kind of questions
now,
do you want to ask you today?
I want to ask about the why did you pick Bambi F. Moore? Because at first I did. It was funny because we talk all the time. And he was like, do you know I'm a male, right? I was like, I do now. But I didn't. What made you pick the name Bambi F. Moore?
Number one, Bambi always been a boy's name. You see the movie, right?
Yeah,
that was a boy. I don't know what some way down the line, porn stars and prostitutes and strippers started taking eyes.
That's true. I never thought about it as it starting out as a boy's name.
Oh yes.
And like I told you earlier today, I didn't know it until Alicia hit me to it this morning.
Oh, it would have been awkward if someone came on the show without telling you first.
I was like, you know, she's like, you know, he's a man. I'm like, really? But we are so honored to have you join us in the clubhouse tonight, you know,
mm-hmm.
So we're happy to have you. So you want to tell us a little bit about your journey? You read your bio a little earlier. You want to tell us in your words about you?
Okay. Well, first of all, I really like writing YA and paranormal stuff. Then I tried to say, let me try something else. I tried with erotica because all the books I read, they were just, none of the scenes really stood out to me. So I said, hey, let me try my own style. And from there on, I just went writing. A year later, released my first novel.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I'm thinking about doing something else.
A different genre, you mean?
I'm going back to YA, young adults.
Okay.
I mean, fantasy. It's better. Feel more comfortable.
Mhm.
But
well,
I'm gonna do.
Like I told you. Mhm. Go ahead.
I'm gonna do one more adult novel before I end it.
One more,
huh? Yeah, just one more. I'm going all out this time. Anything else I did before was just tame.
Really?
Oh,
the
yeah, that was soft core. Right? There's nothing. Yeah. I didn't even
try. Oh, my. All right. All right.
Don't worry. The
we
next one that comes out, you're going to be calling me all kind of stuff in the intro. Trust me.
Wow. Oh, okay. Well, you got to keep us posted because I'm actually reading. Like I told you, I'm actually reading Beast the Vixen. And,
I'm enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it. I was telling Alicia, you know, I never would have picked this book up if you had not been coming on the show. And by being on the show, we've been exposed to so many different authors and genres, and it's just so, it's refreshing to just come out of your comfort zone, you know. So the book, the one I'm reading now, it has a little bit of erotica, and I was telling Alicia, I think it has a little bit of dom and submissiveness, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
At least that's where I'm at right now.
Wow.
It has a mixture of a lot of stuff.
You're not a freak, but you didn't hear that from me, and I'm just going to finish sitting on my feet. You're sipping on your feet. So I was a little surprised. So this is the type of book that you don't know what you're going to come across at that next page that you turn. So, you know, that just keeps the interest there, and I love it, actually.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I love to read, you know, so I'm an avid reader. Alicia and I both are avid readers, so we're always open to new work. So you want to tell us a little bit about the concept of that book?
Yes. When I first started writing, there was a lot of, I say, thousands of 50 Shades of Grey clones going on out there. So I said, I wonder if I could take the same concept, add something new, elements that's missing, and especially characters that I or someone else could relate to. Mm-hmm. And so I worked with the story, worked with the plot, and for the scenes, I wanted to make them so vivid that people, you won't even have to think. After you just read, it just pops in your head what's going on. You stay with it, and you could perhaps even try with your own loved ones if you want to. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's that easy.
I mean, you made a point in the book. Go ahead. You can finish that.
For me, the greatest compliment is when I hear a fan say, "I read your book to my husband. My husband read part of it to me." That makes me smile.
Really? Okay. That's interesting because you know I'm up to the part where you talk about taking a vacation. And mm-hmm. I didn't realize that you meant taking a vacation from your normal self.
Yes.
Am I right about this book?
Yep, that's
And that's
right.
interesting. So I'm really interested to see how this plays out. Because I'm thinking, you know, taking a vacation to an exotic place, but you're actually taking a vacation from what you would normally do. And yep. that's a different concept that I've never read about before.
I need some more emphasis on this vacation thing. Because I read to the max. You sent that to me. I got to read that. But now we can't let you slide on this vacation thing because, you know, it's already out there. The book's been out since. Is she taken? And why did you choose to take that type of vacation? Is it something that is reflective more so of your life where it's a little bit of a realistic type characteristics going on there?
Okay. The concept of the vacation from yourself is, okay, you do everything that you do normally every day, right? Just repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times certain situations come by and you always self-guard yourself, say, no, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that because of this. Well, what she does in the book is when she takes a vacation from herself, well, now she's been secluded for about 3-4 years, don't talk to a man, speak to a man, none of that. She gave up on love. And part of the vacation was instead of her just walking every day, forgetting about love, she decides to look for it. And that's when she attacks with different people. And, yeah, it gets sexual. But there's a lot of sex in there, but she's really discovering herself.
Uh-huh.
And she's letting go of all her safeguards. Everything that she wouldn't do, she does now for the 2 weeks. And it's just about the whole concept of just letting go.
Uh-huh.
Not caring about tomorrow, just caring for right now.
So that's where the vacation from yourself comes into play.
That's basically it.
So she's letting go of all her inhibitions and doing all the things that she sees.
She said yes to everything, yes.
Okay, I'm not up to that part yet. I'm only up to the part where her and Kane are just finishing up their meeting in the conference room with legs over each other.
Oh, that, yes. okay, there you go there. That's a spoiler.
So now I got something to be looking. I got to be going ahead of myself trying to find what you're talking about. Right.
Let's just say in a normal situation, she would never consent to anything like that.
Okay. And I'm loving the character, Jesse. Now, what made you bring that type of character into play?
It had to be there. I mean, I look at all the other books out there. I'm like, none of this is realistic. Because in the workplace, you have all kind of characters.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about it, when I was writing the book, I wanted to make sure all other characters there did a supporting role.
Mm-hmm.
And he just added to the story.
I think he adds more because he adds that element that she is looking for, if I'm not mistaken, just from mm-hmm. the little bit that I read. You know, he exhibits confidence. He's true to himself. Am I reading him correctly?
Yes, he is.
He exhibits confidence. He's true to himself. He's not afraid to go against the grain. And this is all in the first 4 chapters that I've read. So.
And he's pushing her.
Mm-hmm. So I like the two of us together.
He plays an important role throughout the story as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I still got a ways to go, so I'm looking forward to finishing. Alicia, you got to get on the bandwagon, girl. I think you would enjoy this.
That's already one click. That is already one click.
I'm scared of these questions that's coming up.
Right, she told me he's on my vacations, and she let go for 2 weeks. I want to know, well, you know, how far did she go? It was only 2 weeks. Well, I mean, what all did you do?
All the way. Just use your imagination.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I like the way it opens up, Bam. I mean, it opens up where she's being rejected. So does that play a role in her celibacy for the next couple of years?
Yes, it does. That play a big role.
Okay, I'm all right. I'm on the right path then. I'm reading it correctly.
So is it that, oh, so Victoria, who is the character, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So is it that, so she was dating the guy or, mm-hmm. or whoever she was
Mitch.
Rejected from, whether they were, mm-hmm. yeah, okay, so her and Mitch were dating. So she kind of went into a, I want, I let my women do it a lot, where they say, I want things to be different, so I do things differently. So it's kind of not, is it not like she just kind of was avoiding, but it was more like what her kind of soul searching and doing some things differently in her life because she wanted peace and, you know, a relationship that was more healthy?
That's the reason she was waiting. That's true.
Well, where did this waiting and the vacation come from? Because you went from waiting to be a freak.
Wait, I'm thinking you're talking about the first chapter. Because if you notice in the first chapter, she referred to how long they waited before they was intimate.
Right, a year.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. They waited a year.
But after that relationship broke up, she cut off all her ties to ever finding true love.
Right.
Until that night in the nightclub where the proposition came to her about a vacation from her own self.
And it came from a woman at that.
Mm-hmm. She suggested it.
Oh, my.
Now, it's an interesting read, and I'm really enjoying it. It's refreshing. It's not something that I would normally read. So I'm really happy to have you here with us tonight explaining the concept and just letting me know that I am on cue on this. As far as understanding the storyline. So, listeners, you know, it's a great read. You know, give it a chance, and I think you will truly enjoy it. At least you got to get on your read, girl.
I told you I already got the one click on because I'm trying to figure out what's going on with Victoria and this vacation because I've heard it been called many things, but never vacation.
I'm
definitely interested to see what's going on there.
Now, what is it? Nobody was using vacation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, what is it about your books kind of set you apart from other erotic authors? Because I talked with Tony previously in the beginning of the show. She said it's a mixture of different things in there, a little suspense, a little erotica. So what is it about your pen that kind of sets it apart from other authors?
Well, I write it how things are. I don't sugarcoat it. I have read a lot of erotica authors, and you start reading, you're like, oh, this is a good scene. Then after a while, you just lost. You have
mm-hmm.
to go grab a dictionary to figure out what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take notes.
You can relate to that, right?
Like,
yeah.
Then the next minute you won, and this is crazy. I didn't know you could do a position like that. It just go on, and it's unrealistic.
Mm-hmm.
And when I write, I make sure that everything I write, it has to be realistic. If not, I'm not releasing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely need characters everyone can relate to, regardless of their race, gender. I write for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, you're an independent author and publisher, or
mm-hmm.
are you with a publisher? Okay. So how tough is it as an independent publisher and author? Can you just maybe give advice or some tips to those that may be thinking of going the independent route as far as being publishing their own work?
Yes. When you are an independent author, you're doing everything. There's a lot of people get under the force. They feel that, okay, a lot of times when you become an author, you feel, okay, I write the book, I just sell a million, I'm okay. No, it don't go that way. Number one, everybody got to know that you're out there. You got to keep promoting your own self nonstop. You have to look at the situation from different angles. You're taking on multiple roles. Mm-hmm. You become a manager when you're an independent author. You have to set up the system. You know that you need editing. You know that you need reviews. You know you need copy editing, promotion. You have to set up a budget. The number one thing, you got to be realistic. It don't happen overnight, and you got to put work into it. The easiest part is just writing a book. Anybody can write a book, but just getting it out, getting it in people's hands, that's the hard part. Now, you can either do it yourself or send out query letters and hope that an agent grab you up.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, you got to choose which route is best for you. And
Absolutely.
Thing, everybody ain't going to like you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all.
That's true. That's so
now,
true.
Now, what was the biggest, yes, it is. What was the biggest obstacle you faced when putting out your books? Because you have two. You have The Max, and then you have this current one that's out. What were the biggest obstacles that you would have, that you feel that you faced putting those books out?
Biggest obstacle was, okay, to The Max, my the main lead, she was a BBW woman. So I was like, okay, I just kept that to myself while I was marketing it. And let me see, for Vixen, being an interracial erotica, I kind of kept that to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is, when you come out, I hear a lot of people come out, be like, I have an interracial novel, whatever, whatever. They compare it to everything else that's already out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just come out and you put yourself out, they be like, this is an erotica story. People take it, look at it, and they make their own conclusion of it. Mm-hmm. Without being biased up front because you put it in a certain category.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll still say the hardest thing was getting people to actually read it. Because there's millions of books out there, and something have to call it to a person to make them read yours.
Absolutely.
That's it.
How do you get your work out to the reading audience?
I just started telling everybody that I know. I see people message, I'm like, read my book. A lot of them curse me out, but that's okay. But I just kept at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of my friends say, oh, I don't read them kind of books. Okay, tell other people about it. And it just went on and on, and word of mouth.
Absolutely. We say that all the time as far as, you know, readers. A lot of times they do go word of mouth, and, you know, sometimes reviews, and even looking at reviews, sometimes reviews don't really reflect the book itself, because everybody's taste is different. I think books are more like ice cream. You know, either you want Rocky Road, you want Neapolitan, you know, it depends on what you have a taste for. And everybody's taste, you know, is not necessarily going to be the same. And so that's definitely true, as far as I can understand that being a struggle where you're trying to get it out there and get people reading it. We're going to go back to, we're going to take Bam all the way back. We're going back to Brooklyn.
Uh-oh.
No, we're going to go back to Brooklyn. Yeah, we're going back to Brooklyn. Tell us what Bam was like then.
Okay. Let me see. How was I like? That's quiet. No, I was loud.
No, I hear some avoidance there.
Cracking jokes in school, having a good time, chilling with family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing I did was I spent a lot of time in the library just reading.
Mm-hmm.
thank God to my mother for that, because she took me there when I was younger. Everybody else is going other places on weekend. We was poor. We ain't had money. She took me to the library, so. And that was the greatest place to ever have books on every subject, every topic.
Mm-hmm.
And even as I got older, I still kept that same habit of having a book with me or being at the library.
Mm-hmm.
But I did the same thing all other kids did, have fun in the street, play tag, freeze tag, Coco Olivia 1, 2, 3. A lot of people don't know what that is, though. You know what that is, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, you know. And I was just basically a kid. I stayed out of trouble. I blame that on my raising.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Oh, I used to write little children's stories when I was real young, make people laugh, and that just stuck with me over the years.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing. You know, you speak about going to the library as a child. You know, that's something that I share with my children, and to this day we still have library cards here and also in Brooklyn. You know, because when you go to a library, it just opens up an entire world for a child.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you from your normal day-to-day life. It just opens up your eyes and your mind and your horizons to so much. You know, I love being in a library. You know, even to this day, we still just go to the library, just sitting in there, just looking at the people, looking at the books. You know, so that's a great thing. And it, like you said, it keeps a lot of people out of trouble.
Did you say look at the people?
Yeah, the different people that are in the library. I'm a people person. You know, you just look and see what they're reading.
Oh,
you know,
okay. You know that's creepy, right?
Huh?
That's creepy.
No, it's not creepy. It's just to see the different books that people pick up to read, just the different genres. And you always ask, so what's that book about? You know, because I'm a people person. I'll go talk to you about anything, and especially about books. And it may pique your interest about picking up that same book is what I'm saying.
Okay, you nice. I get up and move. And nobody looking peeping at me.
No.
That's
no.
The worst you thing you have, somebody over your shoulders looking to see what you're reading.
No, not like that. We could be,
mm-hmm.
At least the library by me. Listen, ma'am. You know, we sit in, they have like tables, computers, and it's like a lounge area. And people sit down and they talk about the different books that they're reading. Is what I'm saying. It's nothing.
Oh, okay.
About
I thought you
that.
Just go in the library staring at people.
Oh, no. We actually sit down and we conversate with each other and we talk about what we're reading, and it just opens up a new world. Like, you know, that sounds interesting. I might have to check that book out. Something like that. Nothing like what you're talking about. Just like we're talking about books on the show, we talk about books in the library.
Okay.
Does that make
more
sense?
Yeah, still kind of creepy, though, but I'll let you go.
It's not creepy. Even people watching is not creepy. No, it's not. Aaron, who's the other co-host on our, we have two other co-hosts that aren't here today, but he says that even like as an author, he people watches to get content. And I think when you're in a library, it's not creepy, but you can't help but wonder why somebody has picked the book that they have.
Because
they want
it's
to. It's natural.
It is.
And especially when you're reading, it's like, who else would want to read that? Yeah. What they don't want to read that type of book? She don't look like somebody that might want to read that. You know, and it just opens up your avenue to, just like this show opens up our avenue to different authors and books, the library does the same thing. You know, it's just on a different scale. You know, and you say, oh, well, that sounds interesting, and I may want to check that out. Just like somebody could have been reading your book. I'm like, why are you reading that book, and what's it about? And they tell me, okay, well, I want to learn more about this author and his work, so I check the book out. It's the same thing. It's like a big old book club.
Okay.
It's just like a book club.
I'll let you go with that.
I got you.
Because I don't think my book ever going to be in the library, but I'm going to let you go with that.
They got some erotic type books. They got adult sections in the library. Yes, they do.
Okay.
Work with it, fam. Work with it.
Ooh, I'm going to work with it.
I know.
You're not a stalker. You want another thought?
No, I'm far from it. I just love to read.
Because I'll tell you in a minute, excuse me. And I just get up and walk away. I go get go tell the lady at the front desk that you're stalking me. But.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll let you go.
We only have a few more minutes. We want you to tell everybody any projects or new books you have coming out, where people can reach you.
Okay. You can reach me at my website at BambiFMore.com. No, BambiFMore.com, not one word. Okay. You catch me on Twitter at BammyFMore. You can just search me on Facebook. You send me a message, I'll write you back. And you can find my books on Amazon. The two current books I have out now is To the Max. And the second one is V is for Vixen. That's my first full novel. You can search for both of them, or you can just search for my name, Bambi F. Moore. And that's about it.
Okay.
I want to thank y'all for having me here.
Oh, you're welcome.
We thank you for coming out.
Y'all crazy.
What do you have up and coming? What are you working on now?
Right now, I'm working on a book called Reflections. It's not erotica.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, I'd say, woman fiction. But once again, it's a woman trying to find herself.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to give out now. I ain't going to give anything out on air. But
okay.
I know y'all will be the first ones to read it.
Well, when you get it out, let us know. We have you back on the show. You know, if you have any new projects or anything, any events or book sign-ins, just let me know. And, you know, I can let our reading audience just be able to keep an eye out, you know, for the things that you're doing up and coming. We so appreciate you taking time out and just coming to kick it with us in the clubhouse. We enjoyed
mm-hmm.
ourselves. And I got me a new book.
You have to leave a review, too. Don't just read my stuff and don't leave a review.
Oh, no, we need reviews.
I know
okay.
reading etiquette. etiquette.
Hey.
I might not finish it right away.
Okay.
It takes some time now because I'll be busy. Sometimes I get so busy I can't finish every book. So I have like maybe
uh-huh.
six books that I've read half of, and I haven't really had time to go back and finish them. But, you know, it's always my intention to, when I'm not busy, you know, I'll be busy. I'm always doing something. But I got you.
He's
please
always busy, but
me.
We do leave reviews.
Thank you. Yeah, this has been a blessing. I want to thank you again for the opportunity. I love you guys. I don't know what else to say. Thank you so much.
thank you so much for joining us. And we look forward to having you on the show again. But like Alicia said, keep us posted on all the work that's coming out so we can keep our reading audience aware of all your new works. And again, I'm enjoying V is for Vixen by Bambi F. Moore.
Thank you. Thanks again. Y'all have a good night.
Good night. We want to thank everybody for coming out. Remember, Sunday is authorized, so we will see you guys then on Sunday. And we also have a show on Wednesday as usual. We appreciate your support, all the streamers, the callers that they've been hanging in with us, and the listeners online that we have. We thank you guys. We appreciate you for supporting Writing Royalty, and you have a wonderful evening. Let's leave out with a little bit of this Keith Robinson. He has a new single coming out, Famous, which should be available August 11th. Have a
I
wonderful
love
evening.
I'm be baby, for loving you. I get my hands up.